talks about giving glory to God and the vilest offender. If you remember, one Sunday, a few Sundays back, Mr. Kuhmeyer was preaching, and he was kind of asking us to rate the offenders in the Bible. And Paul was actually one that came to mind for me. I mean, because he actually killed Christians. Pretty bad offender there. So we know from our study that there really is a layer of sin. A sin is a sin is a sin to our Father. But a line in this psalm
Let's pray. Dear God, please bless this offering. Please help the money that is collected to go and further your kingdom. Please help us to give with a cheerful heart because you love it when we do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yep.
The sound booth people are really challenged today, so they're working really hard, so they've done a pretty good job. So if you're online right now and hearing us, there's nothing that's sort of a miracle that happens. So anyway, I want to encourage you, Alex mentioned his prayer time about offering, and I don't have to connect with Vern and Lane about this, because of course they work together for our surgery. Share with you what you have done with offering the past few weeks. A while back we had Blessing Hearts here, and if that offering check was nearly $1,000 that day for Blessing Hearts International. That same week or around that time frame, we also went up to work with the Ukraine, and that was $750 that we took up there. Todd and the Owens, who are some missionary friends of ours in Papua New Guinea. And they're translating the New Testament into the Samugaria tribe. And Angela had emergency surgery this week, which she did great on. And we sent them $1,000. And so your offerings are tremendously blessing people. So don't ever think that they aren't. And if you're not giving an offering, you're missing out on a tremendous blessing. To give to others. And so I just want to encourage you that there's some good things happening through this congregation. And I realize some Sundays it may not look like there's a lot of folks here. Doesn't matter. This church is very giving. And so some people have been very encouraged by the giving here. So thank you for being led by the Spirit to do so. As we go into our time of quiet time here, I think I'm going to try to dovetail this with Alex as best I can. I've told you now for some time I've been going through Isaiah. And there's a passage of scripture in Isaiah 42:8. You're welcome to go there or not. It's up to you. This is what the Lord says. He says, I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. I'm going to say this again. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. So what does it mean to give glory to something? What do you mean to give glory to something? How about your time? Your attention, praise, let me give that, okay? So I want to share with you something. God's a very jealous God. He wants His glory and only for Himself, period. He wants nothing to share in His glory. So just use an example this morning with our sound booth guys. God, the storm, I don't know what it did, but it wiped out our computer in the back and had to have a guy come in and fix the computer. Got here this morning, I thought I had everything done. Everything wasn't done. And so the sound booth crew is trying to work him back, get everything put together. And Facebook anymore Live has become a pretty big deal for us online. I, people from all over the nation to actually tune in and watch this on Sunday morning. I've actually shown up to people's houses with an ambulance before to get someone in the house, and I introduce them who I am, and I say, yeah, I know you, I watch you on Facebook. And so, like, how does that even happen other than it's happening? And so the reason I say that today we didn't have an opportunity to go Facebook Live. You know what my sponsor wanted communion time today? Gee, how can we get up online? How can we get online? Well, just before you're starting communion, if you're thinking about trying to get online, who are you not giving glory to? And you're missing the opportunity to give glory to God. Question for you. Have you dwelt on things this way that brought God his glory? Have you dwelt on things this week that have robbed God of his glory? God says, I don't want my glory to go to anything else. I'm jealous of my glory. And when you and I dwell on things and meditate on things and just soak on things that aren't of God, we're giving something glory. It may be a good thing. It's a good thing to be online. But is it better than giving glory to God? It is not. And so you and I do that. And God says this, he says, I'll read the last part, nor my praise to graven images. It's a dead end to give praise to things that don't matter. It's a dead end. And you know as well as I do that when we let our minds go places that they don't need to go as far as dwelling on things that aren't of God, it's a dead end. It's a grave. So this is why we stop. This is why we stop in the middle of a service, just to remind ourselves. I sang some worship songs today. I've had a chance to take communion today. I've had a chance to worship God through offering today. Guess what I should do? Think about why I'm doing this. And then where else do you take that? Well, where are you going to be tomorrow morning? I don't have any idea. Great. Perfect. Take it with you there. That's what we got to do. Let's do that. Father, we love you, and we give you praise for just being so kind to us, to show us your word, to be convicted by a young man on Sunday morning that, yep, it's the best thing to memorize Scripture. Matter of fact, you could even say it's a must. And so, Lord, work on our hearts to convict us that we must give glory to you by memorizing your word. And so, Father, we give you praise for your word. You're kind enough to give it to us. Help us not take that gift for granted, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen. Romans 8, yes, if you catch your Bibles, go to Romans 8 with me. Romans 8. So, this week something unique happened in our house, and as a matter of fact, multiplicity of things happened. It seems like always every week something happens in our house. But this week, we had something happen in our house. Jess came up and said, hey, Dad, the lamp in the living room is not working. And so, of course, the first thing I did was, and it's plugged in, by the way, so you can see it's plugged in. First thing I did was try the on-off switch, you know. Okay, well, it's not working. Okay, that's great. Thanks, Jess, let me know. That's about as far as it went. It was dark for a while there in our living room. We didn't have a light in the living room. I thought, well, maybe I should finally figure out what's going on with it. So I went ahead and I thought, well, it's probably a light bulb issue. Okay, so I went ahead and took out the light bulb. And I had some light bulbs downstairs. So I thought, well, I'll grab a light bulb and I'll put in the light bulb. Okay, so I put in the light bulb. Actually, just put in the light bulb. He put in the light bulb. And he said, Dad, it's still not working. And, well, you know, he just got out of the army. He probably didn't know I was screwing the light bulb. So anyway, so I went ahead and took it out, you know, and I had another light bulb. And so I thought, okay, great.
not working. I thought, holy cow, the lamp is what? The lamp is broken. Now, this lamp was pretty important to me, and if you're one of my children, and well, you guys have grown too fast and been around me for almost 20 years now, this lamp has a great history with me, because one time we took the kids on vacation in Illinois, I don't know what we was doing, but Illinois or whatever, and there was a hotel that was being refurbished, you know? And you know what's outside of hotels being refurbished? A dumpster, yeah, a dumpster. And I had a minivan, okay, and I think we packed seats, scooted kids up, everybody had a belt on, and we scooted people around, and I got like two Chester doors and 15 lamps in that minivan, okay? And if you go to any of our kids' homes, every one of them have a lamp from that trip. This is one of those lamps, okay? And so I hated to get rid of the lamp because it meant a lot to me. And so at that point, I think, well, I've got to figure this out. So I turned the lamp over, and I probably should unplug it, but I didn't. And I turned the lamp over, and I took the bottom off, and I checked all the wiring, and I kept the light in, you know, and I checked the switches. And everything looks like it's connected great. And I think, and I hit the switch again. Nothing was working. So at this point, what would you do?
Throw it away.
Throw it away. Okay, so that's what I was thinking. I'm going to throw the lamp away. So then I go in and went in the back of our house, you know, that's towards the back door anyway, towards the dumpster. And so I just said, you know what, I'm going to throw the lamp away. All right, just give it an old heave, and there she goes, throw it away. Yeah, because it's worthless, right? It's trash. I've tried how many times to fix it? Well, three at least, okay? Three at least, plus I had a guy just out of basic training try to fix it. He couldn't do it, so I couldn't do it either. And so I think this worthless is trash. I say, why did I bring you up today? Because I think that's some of you today. Some of you have tried so many times in your life to try something different. It hasn't worked. And now how do you think? So what are you talking about? Look in Romans 8, verse 1. Paul says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know what people feel like when they're condemned?
Like trash.
Trash. They feel like they're worthless. They feel like they can't change. They feel like they're broken. They feel like something is wrong with them. And they might as well be what? Thrown away. Now, some of you are thinking, I'm one of these people. That's just dumb. How can you possibly think that? And there's some of you thinking that today. Well, I want to share with you something. Back up a little bit in that mindset. I want you to think about this for a moment. Your faith is not only about you, but it's also about who? People around you. There are people around you that you engage every single day, and they're in the trash can because they think they're what? Broken, worthless, only meant to be thrown away. Can't be fixed. That's how people operate sometimes. And some of us don't think that way, but some people do. I have an apostle here today that's thinking this way. He's challenged by his faith. Seems like even lack of faith sometimes. And so as you engage people, I want you to be mindful of something. You're here at church to learn how to not only become a better Christian and love Jesus, but you're also here to become a better Christian by loving others. And sometimes loving others means you've got to understand how come people have their life in the trash can. And so as I think about the Apostle Paul and what he's been doing, I cannot read Romans 8:1 without first reading Romans 7:24. Okay? Next reading there, guys. There we go. Romans 7:24. Let's read this together. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Who wrote that? An apostle wrote that. A man who's responsible for almost a third of the New Testament. He wrote that. And so we get the impression that the Apostle Paul contends with something in himself. He's troubled by how he behaves and how he doesn't behave. If you're thinking, haven't we heard this before? Yeah, we get it again. We've had two sermons on Romans 7. And you can't dispose the two from one another. Romans 7 and Romans 8 are indescribably connected. And Paul calls himself a wretched man. He said he's just sick of how he is on the inside. He struggles. And he comes from our struggle. We struggle to do what is right. We struggle to do what is good. That's last week's message. And so Paul's exclamation is, you know, I want to be set free from this.
Who's going to set me free from this struggle on the inside where I feel like trash, condemned person who doesn't even belong to sit on the earth? And Paul recognizes this by himself. And Paul says, you know, unless I get rid of the sinful flesh, heart, and mind, he knows he's going to be condemned to an eternal death. He knows that. And he wants to be free of it. And so as you look at Romans 8:1 again, it's such a breath of fresh air. It is truly a breath of fresh air. Paul is in the pit in Romans 7. He's in the trash can. He's ready to be tossed out. And then Paul says in that Romans 8:1 passage, it's going to be on the screen here. Here it is. Let's read this together. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Wow. You talk about a breath of fresh air. Kicked in the gut in Romans 7. I'm now catching my breath in Romans 8. Oh, no condemnation. Paul's conveying to us that we as Christians experience self-condemning thoughts. When we as Christians experience self-condemning thoughts or feelings, those thoughts and feelings are not based on truth. They're not based on truth. And Paul's helping us understand that. He says, look, you don't have to be condemned as a Christian to eternal death. Because of who? Because of Jesus Christ. So think about this, friends. I want to understand something. See, as a Christian, listen, as a Christian, you're a Christian today. When you first come to Christ, love Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. As a Christian, how can I know with certainty that self-condemning thoughts and feelings are not based on the truth? What's this person thinking about themselves? What are they thinking? I'm worthless. What else are they thinking? What else? I'm trash.
I'm purposeless.
No purpose. I'm purposeless. I've got nothing. So with those thoughts, how can I know that that's not true when I think those things? How can I know? That's a great question as a Christian. There's a second question. Well, when do you experience these things? I didn't ask if. I said when. When you experience self-condemning thoughts and feelings, we know that they are not based on truth because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's presence. So critical for us to comprehend this text in Romans 8. And so, friends, I want to share with you. Here's a thought. The Holy Spirit is vital for us to. Don't call him a holy if. Don't do that. Don't ever call the Holy Spirit an if. Don't do that. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is vital for us to continue experiencing freedom from sin and self-condemnation. So vital. So vital. And so as you contemplate that reality with me today, I want to share with you the first thing we're going to learn here. That's Romans 8, verse 2. It's Romans 8, verse 2. If you've got your sermon outline, you can follow along. Because of all the Spirit in Christ Jesus, all the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is in me, I'm free. Let's read that together. That title, here we go, right? Because of all the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is in me, I'm free. That's got the exclamation point after, so let's try that little I'm free part. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I'm free. What does that mean? Says, I'm free. Well, look at Romans 8, verse 2. The Bible says this in Romans 8, verse 2. Okay? Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Hey, friends, why can the law was created? So what? Okay. So if we just take the word law, okay? Just the word law. What do you know about laws? Laws are meant to be obeyed. Excellent. Yes, that's right. Laws are meant to be obeyed. And if you don't obey laws, there's always going to be a consequence. Okay? Now, any governing body will always make laws for those they govern so that those they govern will be obedient to who? To them. That's the reason government creates laws. They want the people they govern to be obedient to them. Now, if you go against the law, you get a consequence. Now, remember, last week in Romans 7, we talked about there's two laws that exist inside the Christian. Okay, two laws inside the Christian. One law is the law of the flesh and the law of the Spirit. That's the second law. Our flesh, heart, and mind demand that we follow them. Our flesh, heart, and mind demands that we follow them. God's law, or God's Spirit, the law of the Spirit, commands we follow the Spirit. There's a difference. One demands, one commands, and we follow the Holy Spirit. Now, as a Christian, how did you come about to have Well, what would be the reason that the law of the Spirit of life would be in you? What would be the reason that the law of the Spirit of life would be in you? Well, let's talk about that just a minute, okay? The law, you cannot have the law of the Spirit of life inside you unless you have the Holy Spirit where? Inside you. Now, this is critical for us to remember, okay? There's a lot predicated in our faith when you just remember some basic concepts of Scripture, and you can apply this to every life. We probably, most of us know Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So think about that. The Bible clearly says, and I can't figure out for the whole life of me why Christendom doesn't all agree on this topic. The Bible clearly says that at your immersion, you receive the gift of who? It very clearly says that in Acts 2:38. Okay? And so the Bible also clearly states that at your immersion, you were what of sin? You're free or forgiven of sin. That's true, okay? That means that the only time you and I can receive the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us is when our sins are forgiven by faith. We don't go to the waters of immersion unless we have faith. If you don't have any faith in Jesus Christ, you're going to the baptistry, just take a bar of soap with you. Okay? We, by faith, believe in Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ, in the waters of immersion, that's when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this is critical. Don't forget this. I want you to be mindful of this. That through the presence of the Holy Spirit inside you, you are sinless. You've been forgiven of how much sin? All of it. You're sinless. The presence of the Holy Spirit inside you tells you that no longer is your sin held against you. Your sins are as far as from the east as from the west. You're now justified, just as if you've never sinned. That's what justification means. Just as if you've never sinned. You're sinless. Friends, this is why no self-condemning thoughts or behaviors can stick to you, because the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life tells you that you are sinless before God. That's what the presence of the Holy Spirit inside you. Unfortunately, we are a people very bent on sensuality in our culture. You say, what are you talking about? Well, if you go to any given public place, what do you see most people doing? Staring at your phone. Our phones are a media that's very sensual. It gives you feedback. It's empty feedback, but it gives you feedback, and you're sensual on it. And you say, well, I don't have a phone, but you have issues too. Our phones are just more obvious to some. Some people, you know, use whatever, food products, tobacco, alcohol, work. You can name it, whatever. But we're sensual. We want to feel something. I mean, that's why I drink tea when I get up at 6 a.m. You know why? It wakes me up. Because I want to feel awake. And so we become very sensual in our train of thought and our thinking. So what does that mean translated to us? Well, when you were immersed in Christ, when I was immersed in Christ, okay, the Bible doesn't say you will feel the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible does not say that. The Bible doesn't say when you're immersed in Christ, you will sense the gift of the Holy Spirit. Does the Bible say that? Nope. The Bible does not say that. Nope. The Bible says you will what? Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I can remember when I came out of the water as immersion, when I was immersed in Christ, there was no bright lights shining, no fireworks going off. I just knew by faith that that's what I was supposed to do, and I did it. Okay, so how did I know? Well, that was a story for a different time, but I knew the Holy Spirit was working in my life because of that. So friends, I want you to share something. This is a fact. This is a reality. And this is a truth that cannot be changed. Listen, this is a truth that cannot be changed. Only by faith in Jesus at your immersion will you 100% know with 100% certainty that you have received who? The Holy Spirit. I mean, a multiplicity of things happen at that time, but one of the things we're talking about specifically today is the Holy Spirit. You know, that's 100% true. God didn't ask you to feel it. God didn't ask you to sense it. He asked you to have faith that you have now, and because you have faith, you know it. That's what happened when I was immersed in Christ. So armed with this knowledge, think about this. You're armed now with this knowledge, and you can now live free from the condemnation of sin. What? Yep, you can. Because remember in Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Okay? right here with you. Okay? Hold neighbors too. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Has set you free from life. What has set me free from the solemn law of sin and death? It's the law of the Spirit of life. Only through the Holy Spirit's presence does he convey to my spirit that I'm free from condemnation. Nothing can condemn me. I'm free of eternal death. No sin can condemn me to death because of the Holy Spirit's presence inside me. The mere presence, friends, don't miss this. The mere presence of the Holy Spirit inside you, whom I don't always feel, whom I don't always sense, but I know he's there. The mere presence of the Holy Spirit inside me proves I cannot be condemned by my sin. I can't. I cannot be condemned by the law of God. And I cannot be condemned by people. Because of who again? The presence of the Holy Spirit inside me. This is powerful. You can't miss that. Pivotal to our growing faith as Christians. And so, friends, think about this. When it comes to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus in me, this is what it means for us as we contemplate that move forward here in this Romans 8 passage. Okay? Here we go. The first thing is, stop going on feelings and thoughts of self-condemnation. You just have to stop doing it. You just got to stop doing it. I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. If you went to the waters of immersion by faith in Jesus and received the gift of the Holy Spirit, those feelings and thoughts of condemnation, are they, who are they coming from? I don't know, but they're not from who? They're not from the Spirit. They're not there. Okay? You think about all the things that you think about. And Steph and I listened to a radio show yesterday, and this gal said, I'm probably not getting it right. But she says, any given day, you think anywhere from 9,000 to 60,000 thoughts in a day. How many of those do you keep track of? I'll tell you which one you keep track of. You know which one you keep track of? Right there. That's the one you keep track of. You say, how do I know? What's your attitude like? What's your outlook like? How do you engage with other people? That's what you keep track of. Stop doing it. If you start, it takes some work with the Holy Spirit to work at that. Stop it. Start going on Jesus and your faith in him to free you. Friends, you've got to think about that. One time years ago, I immersed a young woman into Christ, and one day I came to church, I heard this water. What's that water coming from? And I came to the back here, and I immersed her. I had immersed her into Christ the day before, and she was back here in the back, just sitting there at the water, reflecting on the water, and every once in a while she put her hand on it. I heard that faint trickle of her hand going on the water. She was reflecting on the day she believed in Christ and was immersed into Christ. What would happen if you did that? You just chose to reflect on what Jesus did for you by faith in the waters of immersion. But you just reflected on that. Thought about that. Too easy? What if you need to stand on one foot? We make it hard, don't we? It's not hard. Start dwelling on what Jesus did for you at that moment when he gave you his Holy Spirit. Third thing is this. Acknowledge the presence of this Holy Spirit versus feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit. Stop working for feelings. Just stop it. Working for feelings does not work. It won't happen. If you keep working to feel the Holy Spirit, you're becoming a feeling junkie. You know what junkies do? They're just waiting to get the next high. And quit feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit. You just know what? He's there. He's in you. You just got to know that. So sometimes, like, Spirit, I don't know what's going on with me today, but this is not a good day for me. I can't figure it out, Spirit. I don't know what's going on with Spirit. I know you're there. Just go there. Just go there. Just go there. All right, the second thing we're going to look at today is this. How does that work, Jeff? I mean, how does it work that the law of the Spirit through Jesus set me free? How does that work? I'm glad you asked, because it can be complicated. And so we're going to work together here for just a little bit, and we're going to try to get a better understanding of how that works. So look at Romans 8, verse 3. Romans 8, verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh. Now, one translation says this, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Another translation says this, through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life. So, one thing we just got clear there on, it is only by Jesus that you get the chance to have who inside you? The Holy Spirit. It's only by Jesus, okay? Jesus says in the John passage, unless I go away, the Helper won't come. And so Jesus, only through Jesus and by Jesus do you get the chance to experience the law of the Spirit inside you. Well, what does it mean to have the law of the Spirit inside me? Well, again, look at the verses again. Again, look at the verses again. In that verse 3 passage, okay? The NIV says this, for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh. The New American Standard says this, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh. What does that mean? Weakened by the flesh. Weak as it was through the flesh. You see, there's something that the law, that God's law, was not able to do. Oh, did you actually say that? Yep. There's something that God's law is not able to do or is powerless to do. Okay? The law of God could not and was powerless to make you righteous through the flesh. In other words, God says, Mary Jo, you've got to follow all 10 laws all 80 years of your life. Well, if she broke just one of those laws to be right with God in 80 years of life, would she be right? Nope. She'd be unrighteous. See, God's law was powerless to make us righteous. Here's why. Because God's law commands that the flesh be obedient. The flesh be obedient. Let me ask you a question. Here it is. Listen to the question. Which is more normal for the law to do? To make me obedient or point out my disobedience? Which is the law more normal to do? To make me obedient or to point out my disobedience? So when you go to Grant City, or I don't know where the signs are because and my son-in-law's here, so I've indicated myself. I don't know where the speed limit signs are. I don't know what they are between here and Grant. 55?
Yeah.
Thank you. 55 miles an hour. Does that sign make you drive 55? Does Jason's presence in his squad car with a radar gun make you drive 55? At the moment. Once he passes, what are you doing?
62.
They won't take me 7 over, I'm sure. We push the law all the time. We're disobedient all the time. That's what we do. And tries, I mean, you can have God's law. If God would tell you to read the Bible every day, if he commanded you to read the Bible every day, what would you do? You would not read the Bible every day. We, for whatever reason, our flesh, if you will, sin going in, last two sermons, we like to be disobedient. That's what we do. But God wants everybody to have what kind of life when they die? God wants everybody to have eternal life. That's what he wants. He wants everybody to have eternal life. So you think God was in a dilemma? No. Friends, you got to figure out something. There's no panic in heaven. There's no dilemma in God's mind. God had a plan. God had a problem with my flesh and problems. My flesh and problems is this. Listen. My heart, flesh, and mind, they want to do its own thing and rebel against God's law. That's what I want to do. I don't want to do it, but I do it anyway. That's what I want to do. Last week's sermon, go there and sermon for that. God knew that it would take someone in the flesh to follow the law completely, being obedient to every single law. God knew it would take one person, just one person, who obeyed every single law. Every single law. That's right. Every single law. And the tables would turn on sin. God knew it would take one person. And so did he pick you? How come? Romans 8, 3. Go back there again. For what the law was powerless to do, because weakened by the flesh, God did by sin his own son, the likeness of sin in the flesh, to be a sin offering, and so he condemned sin in the flesh. I find it amazing, it's happened here recently, some of the things that people are interested in, like on TV and social media, okay? It's amazing, man. You probably see, you see that here, what that is? Maybe you know what that story is. Can you see the picture? It's what trial is it called? What trial is it called? Johnny Depp trial, the Heard trial. If you look at that, you'll see what Americans are interested in. You probably can't see it very well because if your eyes like mine, I got to stand up here to see it. Down here at the bottom, at 44, it's not a percentage, this is a number of social interactions per article in social media. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I can trend what that means when I look at this, okay? So when an article pops up about COVID-19, let's say this, only 44 people are interested in COVID-19, okay? And I'm probably what? I'm way less than that. Inflation, about 70 people, when they see an article that says inflation, they're interested in it, all right? Russia-Ukraine war, 91, abortion, 141, Joe Biden, 170, Elon Musk, wow! When people start hearing things about Elon Musk, they chime in, they're interested in 470 people. But when you look at the Johnny Depp Heard trial, look at the numbers, 508 people engaged per article when it comes to those type of things. I heard a guy this week say, well, Americans want to be distracted. They just want to be distracted. And I think that's okay. That's partially right. But I think the biggest thing is this. Do you know what kind of people Johnny Depp and the Heard Girl are? Well, they're movie stars. That's true. And you're not one, Vern. Probably so. You know what? Those people are just like us. So, well, I've never done those things. Doesn't matter. Debt's in today. Sin is sin is sin, is it not? You know what that trial's pointing out?
Sin.
Everybody sins. And doggone it, when you're a movie star, guess who sins more public than others? And you know why we like to watch people on TV who have sinfulness and they look just like those people? You know why we like to watch them? Oh, you mean movie stars sin too? Yeah. They need Jesus just like you do. And so I think we're intrigued that movie stars are just like who? Just like the rest of us. And then we're just so interested that they're just like the rest of us. Can you go back to Romans 8:3 with me again? Okay. Look what it says. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of what? Sinful flesh. Do you get who Jesus is like? Jesus is just like us. He's just like us. And here's what kind of bothers me about this trial thing. We're very interested in the sins of people who are just like us. I'm just curious how come we're not intrigued by Jesus who's just like us and never sinned. How come we're not more intrigued about that? I think we compare sin.
I've never sinned like that. I've never done that in someone's pillow. I've never done those things. It doesn't matter.
Have you sinned?
Yeah.
So I have a thought here. Why don't we become fascinated with Jesus? He had the same flesh as Johnny Depp, same flesh as Angela. And I can't remember that girl's name.
Amber.
Okay, look. God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Did Jesus experience the same temptation as those people? Well, Jesus experienced the same temptation as you and I? Did Jesus ever go to court because of his sin? He went to court and looked at his sin. That was a sin. He go to court because of his sin. How come we're not fascinated? Seriously, how come we're not fascinated by Jesus who's just like us and never sinned? Do you realize how much life would be different if we were more fascinated by Jesus than people like this? How much better life would be if we were more fascinated with Jesus than people like this? Jesus in the flesh, never sinned. Jesus was never condemned in the sin because of his flesh. However, you and I are condemned in the sin because of our flesh. How much condemnation do we deserve? All of it. Every bit of it. You deserve it, so do I. We deserve to be condemned. Jesus in the flesh never sinned against God's law. The law was, think about this. The law was unable to condemn Jesus. The law could not do it. If Jesus was driving between here and Grant City, what speed would he drive? Could Jason stop him?
No.
He could, but would he have any reason to condemn him or give him a ticket?
No.
Jesus would follow the law to a T. So instead of sin condemning Jesus in the flesh, listen, Jesus in the flesh condemned sin. Instead of sin condemning Jesus in the flesh condemned sin. It's almost like Jesus saying, ha, sin, you've got nothing on me. I'm thumbing you. You've got nothing on me. And it's true. Since the law of God could not condemn Jesus with sin, Jesus followed the will of the Father by becoming an offering for sin. Think about this. Listen closely. When Jesus chose to be an offering for sin, the law had no choice but to accept it. Had to accept it. Now remember, the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Thank you. Which means whenever you break the law of God, the wage you're owed is death. Okay? Very powerful words. So as you think about that, the power of the law has against me, the law has power against me. It's my rebellion against God's law. That's the law has against me and you. The law has power against me because of my rebellion against the law. Jesus never broke the law. Does the law have power over him?
No.
No power. The law has no power over Jesus. So when Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice, willing, offered himself as a sacrifice, as a substitution for all humanity, what power did the law have to stop him?
Nothing.
Couldn't stop it. What could the law do?
Nothing.
Couldn't do anything. Listen to this. The law was rendered powerless. Powerless. Had no power through the sinless life and death of Jesus. The law was rendered powerless. This is powerful. Do not miss this. Do not miss this, okay? Listen, this means when I choose to have faith in Jesus, making powerless the law of God to condemn him of sin, to have faith in Jesus, that he made powerless the law of God to condemn him of sin, listen to this, I get the same benefit. I get the same thing. I get the same thing. I cannot be condemned by sin by the law of God. I can't make it. Because I have faith in him. I have faith in Jesus. And he rendered powerless the law of God. Think about this. Sinless Jesus cannot be condemned of sin. And as I place my faith in sinless Jesus, I cannot be condemned by sin. I'm sinless. I'm going to say it again. Listen closely. Don't miss this. Sinless Jesus cannot be condemned of sin. As I place my faith in sinless Jesus, I cannot be condemned of sin. I'm sinless. That's powerful. And so think about this. How does the law of Spirit through Jesus set me free? I just explained it. If you want to copy this message, I'll copy it off and hand you the rest of the message over. So I think it's something to go home and think about. Three things. Thank Jesus often that you were able to receive the Spirit. What would your life be if the Holy Spirit were inside you? Well, you'd be a bigger mess than you are now. But praise God, he's inside you. You've got to start thanking Jesus for that. Move aside those other thoughts you want to give glory to and just start thanking Jesus. Jesus, I'm so grateful you gave me the Holy Spirit. I'm so grateful you put him inside me. So grateful. Start thanking that he has praised Jesus that the law can no longer condemn you through sin. The law can no longer condemn you. Are you a sinful person? Yep. Can the law condemn you to hell for that? No. Because of who? Jesus giving you the Holy Spirit and his presence inside you tells you you cannot be condemned by that law. Third thing is this. Praise Jesus that his sinless life made you sinless. Praise Jesus that his sinless life made you sinless. Do you realize the implications of being a sinless person? Oh, powerful. Powerful. I tell you what, a message like this today, folks, I'm glad I come to church here. I've never been to it. So, what are you doing in the trash can? What are you and your friends in the trash can? taking out the dumpster. Is that what you do? Taking out the dumpster. I told you the backstory of my lamp, right? It means a lot to me. My kids had to suffer at least 200 miles crammed in a minivan to get that lamp on.
Good story.
That's another time. So the lamp was in the back of my house, going to go to the dumpster. And I thought, what if? So I got the lamp out. I am a dumpster guy. I got the lamp out. I thought, I just wondered, what if? So I took this light bulb out, and these other light bulbs, you know, at this point, I'm 3 light bulbs. I mean, there's just no way. Plug in. A show of hands, because I know who you are, because that's all of us. And I'm telling you, you can't give up. I think people just need one more something from the Lord, and they'll connect with them. I don't know what it would be. You just can't give up. It just one more thing from Scripture. One more Sunday morning. One more life trial. One more life event. One more Sunday school time. One more prayer. I don't know what it's going to be. But I'm almost certain of this, just one more light from God. And that person suddenly goes from what? Trash to shiny. I can't help but think that's such freedom to get out of trash. Let's pray this morning. So I just want to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus, I don't know why today would be a great day to talk after church. If you're a woman, I know plenty of gals in church talk to you. If you're a guy, I know plenty of guys talk to you. If you're online, and if you're not in church and you're online, I encourage you to get into church. And then give us a call, message us. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we love you. We give you praise for Jesus and how kind he is to us. Lord, how many times have any one of us been in the trash can? We've just seemingly ruined anything that could possibly happen in a given day. We tell ourselves that. We've ruined it. But yet you give us just one more thing. And suddenly we're from the trash and we're shining. So Lord, we're small in number here today, but your word is never small in value. And so I just pray, Lord, that this message and your word just shines in such a way across however you want to do it that people can start getting it. They no longer have to dwell in the trash can of sensuality and just reflect in the knowing that the Holy Spirit is inside them. We give you praise, Jesus, for being so kind. So in your name we pray. In the Holy Spirit, please. So right click on the right. Let's just do I love you, Lord. Just go that way. I can totally, did I tell you about computer problems this week? Let's just go I love you, Lord. I can't get it up because I think it has to be switched to Realtek audio in the back. And are you
for you on that.
So hit I love you, Lord. Let's go, church, ready?
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear, may it be a sweet, sweet sound to your ear.
I enjoyed my time with you today. I want to encourage you, we're having dinner today, 11:30 for Kim, so if you need to go home, come back. Come back around 11:30, should be a good time. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, we're having Memorial Day service.
Cemetery. 2 p.m.
Yes,
2
o'clock on Monday, Memorial Day.
Day after, week from tomorrow.
Yes,
thank you. Is it recording? Okay, so you do here, watch this. I click on that. Sound settings. Actually, you go here. Okay. All right, Jason, music up.